The Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, and the Vice President of the European Commission, Maros Shefcovic, have briefed members of the US Congress on the latest Brexit developments. The call last night was with the Friends of Ireland Caucus, a bipartisan group on Capitol Hill. Mr. Coveney said that the Northern Ireland Brexit border protocol was the only topic for discussion. The EU is threatening legal action against the UK after it unilaterally extended the protocol grace period for allowing certain British products into the North without checks or documentation. Well, one of those who attended the online briefing last evening was Congressman Brendan Boyle, who's on the line now from Washington. A very good afternoon to you, Congressman, and thanks for taking our call.
All right, great to be with you.
This was a briefing, we're told, at the request of Friends of Ireland. So what questions did you have for Simon Coveney and Vice President Shefcovic, and what did you hear from them?
Well, I was helping along with Richie Neal to moderate the meeting, so more directing questions and facilitating them from other colleagues of mine, both Democratic and Republican members, who were pretty taken aback and shocked that we were in this situation, that again the Northern Ireland Protocol was being breached by the British government. So there were questions around that, questions about what happens next, questions about how long litigation would take, but it was all 100% focused on exactly the current situation regarding the Northern Ireland Protocol and the delayed full implementation of it.
This British move in relation to the protocol and the grace period, is it having an effect on British-US relations? Would you expect it to have an effect?
Well, of course. I mean, anytime you have a major government on any issue that is breaching international law, especially shortly after signing up to that international law, it is going to have a spillover effect. So there are many members of Congress, and they were on the call yesterday, who share my deep concern and real shock at the wanton disregard for international law being displayed by some in London.
What then, Congressman Boyle, is your message and the message of your colleagues to the British government? What should they be saying, in particular, I think, perhaps to unionists, some of whom we know are alarmed at the working out of the protocol?
Well, there are a couple things. First and foremost, people should understand, if they don't by now, that there maintains a very strong and active interest in maintaining peace on the island of Ireland among members of Congress. Of course, those of us who are of Irish descent, but also not just those of us who are Irish of Irish descent. Number two, we expect that those who sit down and sign international treaties will honor them. That is a pretty basic requirement when it comes to international relations and building trust and dealing with one another. And then the third thing is we certainly would welcome reasonable and practical flexibility to make this thing work. It is complex. It's a complex situation. Northern Ireland is a very complex place. And so the cooperation of all sides to have flexibility to make this work is in everyone's interest, and we would like to see that.
Your colleague Richard Neal, people will recall, last September suggested that British actions which undermine the Good Friday Agreement could jeopardise the prospects for a UK-US trade deal. Could this UK move have a similar consequence?
I've said the same thing as well. And yes, I have said, as Joe Biden has said, as Secretary of State Tony Blinken has said, there will be no U.S.-UK free trade deal if the Good Friday Agreement is violated in any way. And certainly the continued provocations around the Northern Ireland Protocol obviously make it very difficult to commence a U.S.-UK trade deal.
On a related matter, Congressman, you've written this month in the Irish Times, I think it was, on the need to, and I quote, immediately begin preparing for a referendum on Irish unity. It's provided for under certain conditions, of course, in the Good Friday Agreement. But why do you think it's again, to quote you, it's obvious that there will be a referendum on reunification here?
Yeah, well, the op-ed explains it better than a brief, you know, comment on radio, so I'd encourage people to read it. But basically, when you look at demography combined with how quickly the Scottish independence question is moving, it's pretty clear that at some point there is going to be a referendum. And my concern is I would not want to see, for any country, a repeat of the Brexit vote. In Brexit, you had a situation in which people held the vote first, and then all of the attempting to understand the implications of that vote came afterwards. And I think part of the problem why 5 years after the Brexit vote we're still having these difficulties is because there wasn't any of the necessary work done beforehand. My point is that while these conversations are already taking place in academia and the private sector and civil society, I think it's important that we engage in those. There are a lot of questions that have to be answered. It's always better to do that work now and to begin the preparation, make sure it's as inclusive as possible, rather than getting into a situation down the line in which suddenly things are rushed and they have less of a chance of success.
Right. I suppose, on the other hand, the concern here on the part perhaps of some of those in government is that moves in that direction to begin contemplating this is something that has a potential to destabilize politics in Northern Ireland.
I mean, let's be clear, it is part of the Good Friday Agreement. And when you're seeing, and by the way, I ultimately published my op-ed right after the polling data that was published by the Sunday Times, showing that a pretty clear majority in Northern Ireland want to vote on this question within 5 years, that's another aspect that has to be taken into account as well, that a majority of people there want, not tomorrow or the next day, but within 5 years to vote on this question. I think that's a crucial consideration.
Just finally, on another matter entirely, if I might, before I let you go, the U.S. Congress last evening approving this $1.9 trillion stimulus package for the American economy. A big part of it is boosting family incomes by direct payments. How's all that going to work, and what's the hoped-for impact by those of you in Congress who've approved this deal as the U.S. economy, one hopes, begins to come out of the pandemic?
I'm very excited about it. I voted for the $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill. It's enormously popular here in the United States. Just one aspect of it, just one. The increase of the child tax credit is projected to cut child poverty in the United States by 50%. That is incredibly important and, in fact, is historic. And I do believe that we will be able to sustain many of the measures that are in there right now as temporary measures. I believe that we'll be able to make these permanent, and hopefully something good long-term will come out of what has been an enormously difficult COVID year.
Congressman Brendan Boyle, thanks for talking to us here on the News at 1.